Auras, change your aura, change your life. Fascinating, isn't it? Dimitri Morite is with us, and we'll be back with him and more on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dimitri Morite is with us. We're talking about his work, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life. Dimitri, I'm obsessed with health, taking care of your body, fixing it before it breaks down. If you're aware of your aura, can you also change your health?
Absolutely, because health starts in the aura too. So preventative medicine is the way to go. The first thing to do, of course, is just a normal, healthy living. I mean, take care of yourself physically. It's a biological mechanism.
Just be smart about it.
Right, right. Be obvious about it. And also, you know, we say all paths are to, you know, do the medical, do the holistic, do the spiritual. Don't deny one over the other. There's a place for everything. If your arm breaks, you know, go to a doctor and get it set, for God's sakes. But the spiritual, now, what's fascinating about the spiritual roots of potential illnesses here is that it is actually true that almost half the time we, in a sense, create our own illness through wrong thinking and feeling. It's not all of the time, but many times we have something that is really brewing inside of us, a disappointment, a sadness, a grief, an anger, and if it goes unattended, it can result in a physical distress. So the first thing is to look at is your emotional and mental health. Is there anything that's really been festering with you for a long time? You're not forgiving people, you know, those kinds of things. Get to work on that because it, you know, the body can take a toll. Obviously, one of the big ones that many of us deal with is stress. You can take a perfectly healthy body, but you put too much stress on it, the nervous system can only go so far, and of course it can start to break down. Now, working with a violet ray in the nervous system can help to release some of that tension and pressure. So we definitely recommend infusing the body with spiritual energy so that you're building up more power. It fuels the cells, it fuels the atoms. You know, you can get those atoms so exhilarated. There's the story of saints and, you know, Paramahansa Yogananda. When he died, his body did not decay. You know, it didn't go through the normal decomposition process because he'd built up so much power, spiritual power, in his physical form. Even though the body, the soul left and the aura left, the atoms themselves were so exhilarated that they didn't go into that decay stage. So, and there's been other stories of others that have a similar thing has happened. So we definitely recommend working with spiritual energy for your physical vitality.
If somebody is in love, for example, what happens to their aura?
Well, now that's interesting too. I love this. The energy of love in the aura is kind of like a bubbly pink champagne energy. It like kind of like this feeling of euphoria. And we all feel that when we're in love, there's just, you know, we're walking on clouds kind of a thing. If the love is reciprocated and it actually turns into a love affair, let's say, then that energy becomes even more pronounced. If it is a little bit of a one-way street or we just have kept it sort of a secret, it's there, but it won't be as strong. So, you know, it's interesting how some of this is how we are interacting with other people, especially when it comes to love. Now, when it's more of a, let's say, a motherly love or a selfless love, the energy shifts a little bit. It can become sort of a paler pink, and especially if you are like a, you know, doing some very, you know, sort of selfless work. I mean, not necessarily what Mother Teresa does, but something where you're really giving without thought of your personal gain, there can be a beautiful kind of pearluster pink that's seen above the head. And this shows that you have really reached into some of the higher expressions of divine love.
When you've been doing this and practicing it, do you find yourself getting better and better at it too?
Oh, you know, that's one of the best things about this. When I had my awakening, I call it like my Saul in the Road to Damascus moment. It was a major life transforming moment. It changed the course of my life. Everything was different after that. And then when I started meditating, I was so excited with it. I've been doing it for 32 years now, and I'm more excited now because I'm tapping even more deeply into these energies and having more experiences. And So the process, you know, it's like learning to play the piano. The more you do it, the better you get at it, and the more satisfying it becomes.
If you're going to change your aura, what are some of the first things you do beyond meditation?
Well, you have to live your truth. You can't talk the talk. You have to walk the talk.
So if you live a lie, it's not going to happen.
Exactly. You can't, you know, you have to be the person you want to be. You can't just, there's some really smart people that have figured a lot of things out, but they're not living their intelligence. It's still in their head. You've got to bring it into your life. You know, if there's a problem in a relationship, you got to deal with it. You know, you got to face it. Don't run away from it. Sometimes we don't like to look at things if they're not pretty or whatever. And one of the things we say, especially with the aura, it's not what's happening in your life that's the measure of your spiritual maturity. It's how you're dealing with it. If life throws you a curveball and you handle the curveball, then you're handling it. You're right.
Sounds like the Rocky V movie.
Yeah.
You pick yourself up.
Exactly. But it's true. I mean, some of these things have become a little bit like cliches, but they're really also based on truth.
All right, let's take some calls for you as they begin to line up. Let's go to Minnesota. Diane is with us, east of the Rockies. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. I saw my aura once. This is in 1995. I had bought a book. I always wanted to read on Christian mysticism. Mm-hmm. So I got into bed, propped myself up, started reading. I reached over to get a piece of candy. It was a present. And I saw this white all around my arm, my fingers. It was the same width as my fingers, same width as my arm. And I thought, that's my aura. That's what they call an aura.
Yeah.
And I wondered if it was from reading that book, Christian Mysticism. And it just tickled me pink. And I played with my hand and waved it around the room, and it followed me just like my white shadow. And then I sat on the edge of the bed, and I looked down, yeah, it was all around my feet, and I wiggled my toes, and they wiggled, and that shadow stayed right with it, you know, every move I made. And so then I just lay down and back in bed and started reading again, every once in a while looking at it, and it was still there until it disappeared. So I have never gotten that back again, and I keep looking, you know, and sometimes I think I see a faint shadow, you know, there, some energy above my body, and well, that's it.
Yeah,
but it was white.
Did it? What kind of an impact did it have on you afterwards? Did it cause?
No, I was always the same. Ever since I was young and a little girl, you know, I was Catholic school and all the saints, and just loved that whole thing, the nuns. And
well, those experiences are kind of like prompters. You know, the higher, it's sort of the higher calling on you. So you're reading this Christian mysticism, so it was almost like it was trying to tell you to follow metaphysics, which, by the way, despite what some people may say, is not contrary to religion. You can still practice your religious beliefs and practice metaphysics. Usually when you're starting to see energies, it will come in as a white light, even if you can't differentiate colors yet. So that's kind of, so we say, the starting point, which means that you do have some natural clairvoyance. My only advice to you would be start studying metaphysics more seriously. Get more into it, because you might be really surprised at what you discover.
All right. Good luck to you. Let's hope that works out. Let's go to Adriana in Eugene, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Adriana.
We did some workshops there.
Good
it's a great
evening.
Spot.
Good morning, George. What a riveting show to me. I'm like an insomniac. I was supposed to go to bed early, but I couldn't.
Not going
to
happen.
Not going to happen. I have a dear, dear friend who I'd like to ask a question for concerning, and I have a problem with psychic vampires. I know you, George, talk about it all the time, and how do we protect ourselves and cleanse our aura. He's got a very domineering, bully, very abusive wife who he had an aura reading, and she's got like thick, thick layers of green. And it's interesting, she's exactly the same template of my father, people that I've been dealing with my whole life. I've had to cut a lot of toxic people out, and I'm very energetically sensitive, and I want to know with your guest, how do you protect yourself from vampiric psychic vampires? There's a world full of them.
Well, first of all, you have to assert yourself energetically. It goes back to the basic principle, nothing can enter your aura unless somewhere you're permitting it to happen. So the first thing I would recommend is that person kind of spiritually minded that you're speaking of?
Actually been the catalyst. This conversation that you had just a couple of seconds ago, I had with him in the car today about how he's running away. He was told that he needed to move out because she's mentally and verbally abusive. It's interesting. She acts more like, I can involve politics, but Hillary Rodham Clinton, she's just a bully. She just imposes her will. It's kind of like, you know, tyrants.
Well,
you know, like
and they're Hitler. Married, though, but they're married, right?
If you would call it that, they
legally
kind of
are
separated,
married?
But he's still kind of,
yeah.
He's under the same.
I would be just careful, you know, advise him, but, you know, you don't know what karma may be going on between the two of them, because sometimes kind of a bully type person is a teacher to help bring the dynamic in the other person, obviously not to the point of interfering in their life or disturbing it where they're getting hurt or anything of that nature, but what we would say if this was like you or with them, to put the golden protection around you and to start asserting yourself and work with a lot of gold light. And you don't even have to say a word. You can simply refuse the energy. It's the reaction to the other energy that permits it to go into you. If someone's yelling at you and you don't get angry back at them, then there's no place for that energy to connect with you. But the minute you get angry back at them, it's like you just welcome that energy into your aura, and of course it's going to be an emotional reaction, and now you've tied into it. So that person needs to kind of assert more of their own energy and to establish more dynamic power, and that's something they probably need to develop in their life anyway.
Hope that helps you. Thank you. Let's move on to Tessa in Riverside, California now. Hi, Tessa.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
What a fun show. Thank you so much. I have a question about a reading I had when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
and also on psychic symbols, if Barbara or Dimitri are familiar with those.
Well, psychic symbols are very interesting because they can be very unexpected and very unusual. Again, similar to any prompting you have, take it as kind of a nudge. Take it as the higher kind of knocking on your door to explore the spiritual side of you. So when, you know, God reaches us in different ways. And if you have some type of a vision, whatever it is, it's the higher talking to you. You know, when I started to have my experiences, I had no idea what it was. And when I realized, oh my gosh, this is the higher, you know, this is the higher talking to me, It was a very reaffirming experience. So the only thing we urge is not to overanalyze the symbol, because some of it can be coming from the subconscious. We sometimes sort of embellish these with our own consciousness, but we would simply say it's God, again, trying to urge you to follow your spiritual path and to start doing all the things you need to do to better yourself.
You know, Dimitri, how many people don't listen, don't take heed to this?
That's the problem. That's the problem. We don't, as much as sometimes we're asking the higher for help, we don't want to often hear what the higher has to say because we get too caught up in what we want. Let's say I really want this person in my life, and the higher is trying to tell me she's not right for you. Well, if I don't want to hear that, then it doesn't matter who's sending me what signal, I'm just going to ignore it. So we have to have kind of an openness saying, if it's coming from the divine, it has to be in my best interest, even if it isn't what I don't always want to hear. There was a lady when we were doing a workshop on the angels, and she was saying, oh, well, I thought that if you didn't feel like doing something, then you're not supposed to do it. Well, wait a minute now. Let's think about this for a moment. You know, your emotional nature is your feeling nature, but it doesn't always, it's not your higher self. It doesn't always know what's the best for you. Sometimes the very thing we're supposed to do is not what we feel like doing at that moment. But if we do it, eventually the emotions get engaged and then things work out the way they're supposed to. So we really should be asking, what's in my best interest here? And whatever I'm meant to receive, let me receive it. But yes, we, as George is saying, we have to cultivate a consciousness that's ready for the unexpected, ready for that inspirational moment whenever it strikes.
Let's take one more call and then the break, and then we'll come back with final calls. Paul is in San Andreas, California. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. I have two questions. I would like to ask you about meditation. I know what it means, but I don't understand how you do it.
Well, there are many different types of meditations, but the simplest way to first understand it is meditating is receiving from the divine. It's just like what we were talking a moment ago. It's getting your consciousness in a listening mode, in a regular to receive mode. Prayer is its complement. Prayer is a petitioning. It's okay. Ascending out to the divine. So you can think of it like a complete circuit. In the work we do, we call them meditative prayers.
Okay.
So you get into this meditative state, which means you have to still your consciousness. You're not walking. You're not busy with other things. You're not driving.
So in other words, you just sit quiet.
Sit quiet, but in the work we do, you actually envision the different color energies. So
all right.
Let's say if you want more peace right now, you would envision yourself enveloped in purple light.
Uh-huh.
And you would feel that peace. This is an experience. You know, if your request is genuine, you're going to get that peace.
Well, no, it's genuine. I'm 80 years old, and I've never had anything like that. I mean, I've always tried to live a good life, but I know it's not always been great, but I've done the best I can, but I'd like to do better.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. No, meditation is your one-on-one time with God. It's your one-on-one time with the divine. I like to think of it, it's like where the soldier gets the armor and the ammunition before they go into the battlefield of life. You know, so taking that time to do it, you should pick something that gravitates to you. I personally, of course, love these light meditations because I see so much effectiveness and it's so exhilarating to do. But whatever it is, I would find a meditative practice that you can resonate with and be diligent. It's like learning to play the piano. You're not going to get good at it doing it just once in a while. Make it a daily practice, and then you will really see a certain peace of mind that you may be seeking.
We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with our very special guest, Dimitri Moraitis. Now, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Do whatever you have to do there. We're also on Instagram. We've got it all there for you on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast with the final phone calls, so don't touch your dial. And welcome back. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with our guest, Dimitri Moraitis, as we talk about their book, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life. Simple as that. Welcome back. Dimitri Moraitis with us. Dimitri, isn't it obvious that if somebody seems to be energetic, kind, that they're going to have a pretty good aura?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Certainly in the loving area. But it may mean there's still other things they need to work on. You know, some people are very loving, but maybe they do need to develop their dynamic side more. But clearly, there's some good people out there, and even if you don't see their aura, you feel their wonderful vibration, and they're uplifting just to be around.
What do you think Jesus' aura was like? All white?
Well, Jesus, yeah, he had a lot of, as a matter of fact, they said his energy was so expansive it reached for blocks when it was in the fall. And you're talking about the pinnacle of human achievement spiritually there. It was a fantastic energy, and they say he was so in touch with the higher, he was really overshadowed by them for the entire mission that he was on.
So tell me about, at the inception of life, does the fetus have an aura?
Now, that's kind of, you're touching on a big subject right now. Yeah. What metaphysics teaches is, pregnancy, a birth is never a purely biological process because there's a soul involved. And there's an incarnation process involved. So what happens is, at conception, at physical conception, there is a commitment by the incoming soul to come through that mother. And then there's a whole spiritual process that begins. And yes, there's a lot of auric things that happen in the energy field of the mother, and also the soul that's essentially coming around to inhabit that body. Now, there's a lot of exchange of energy during the pregnancy period, but interestingly enough, the actual incarnating moment is the moment of birth where the first breath is taken, and that's the actual moment of the beginning of the incarnation process. So it's a fascinating study, the whole pregnancy from the spiritual perspective and all the changes that are happening in the aura at that time.
Can you feel an aura, physically feel it?
Oh, absolutely. And you can feel the energy. And you need to talk about listening. You have to listen to that because you can be with somebody and maybe, again, they have notoriety or, you know, they have authority or whatever, but you're feeling this unpleasant vibration. You have to pay attention to that. You know, you don't have to be like Barbara and see the menacing energy around the Archbishop, but you will feel that energy and you need to accept it. Also places. You can walk into a place, it could be physically very pretty, but again, it could have something chilling there, and you have to pay attention to that. In the same way, you may walk in a place and feel, wow, I'm at a home here, because the energy in there is very compatible with you, and obviously of a very high level.
All right, now we go to final calls. Leslie in Detroit, first-time caller. Hey, how's my hometown, Leslie?
Yes, how you doing, George?
Great.
Okay, you touched on a subject about, I was going to speak on a whitish, silky-like glow. You said Jesus had that glow. Well, I've seen that glow. It was around an African female, and she was glowing. It was like a silky, like milky-like glow, and it radiated so much. It just touched me, and I just didn't know what to say. But and you touched on another subject. Could you read somebody's aura through the telephone? Like, could you see their aura through TV or something like that?
It's very hard. I mean, Barbara's good at that. It's much easier, obviously, if you're in person. I mean, people have been asking about, you know, the presidential candidates and all of that. And yes, certain things do come through. But remember, there's a lot of interference. There's a lot of energies in between. So, some things can come through, you know, and basically it's better in person, but yes, when you're tuned in, you can work through their higher self and read an aura at a distance.
How about through somebody's voice?
Yes, yeah, the vibration can be a tune-in point as well, absolutely. When Barbara does her phone readings, she has, by hearing them, it helps her to tune into the vibration, but that's a difficult skill, to be frank, because it's an extra step. It's one thing when the person's literally right there in front of you. It's another thing when you have to tune in at a distance.
Do you think you become more creative if your aura is brighter?
Oh, yeah, because you're a creative being. So absolutely, you would want to, as your aura is brighter, you will bring in more of the creative powers. Interestingly enough, because, I'm still creative, but that was my path when I came to L.A. I was going to, you know, be in the film business and music and all of that. And I was fascinated to discover that, okay, the color of talent is electric blue, but the color of inspiration is the lighter powder blue. So these are two different vibrations. When, you know, you can be very talented but not always inspired. But when you get that inspirational moment, there's going to be a lot of that powder blue, and it's especially seen above the head. That means you're in the throes of receiving some type of inspirational light, and you need to be ready for it. You know, when that moment strikes, you know, again, like Beethoven, you've got to act on it because when it's coming,
you've got to be ready.
Yeah, because it can leave you as fast as it comes to you.
You definitely. Now, if the planet itself is having issues, does it have an aura?
Yes. Yes, it does. As a matter of fact,
I knew it.
We were at a big event in the winter of 2007, and Barbara, out of the blue, said, you know, pray for the planet. There's gray around it. And, of course, several months later, we had the cataclysm of the financial effect of the world's energy.
That's interesting.
So, yes, it's definitely there. Now, thank God it's cleaned up. And right now, things are looking better. But we have to be very on top of that. Yeah, even countries have energy. You know, there's collective energies. So there's auras around collective energies, such as a country as well. This is what the higher looks at a lot, are the energy flows and how things are moving on a collective level. You know, we're growing as a society. And we, again, as we said at the beginning, we have to do our best to play our part in all the things that are happening. For example, again, we have an election coming up, but it's also about the destiny of the country.
Sure.
You know, and you have to do your part to help manifest that destiny.
Has she looked at the auras of the candidates?
Yes, yes, yes. We did do a little bit of that.
What do we have here?
Well, one thing we have to say at the beginning, you know, to be a candidate, to reach that level, you have to be an accomplished person, whether you agree with them or not. These are people that are skilled in their area of what they're doing. Otherwise, they'd never make it to that level. Now, interestingly enough, and again, I'm not speaking politically here. I'm not taking a position on anybody. I'm just showing a few auric energies. For example, Hillary Clinton does have the emerald green in her aura, which does show she's a good mediator. She does have the silver, which shows the intelligence, and she also has the bright orange, which is a very motivating, you know, a very ambitious and motivating energy. Donald Trump, he does have the gold, which shows a very confident individual, and he also has the peace, which shows that, you know, he's at peace with himself. He likes who he is. You know, it's not a lot of internal conflicts going on right now there.
So that's purple, I guess.
That's the purple, right, right. And interesting, Ted Cruz, he does have the bright red. Now, that's a vitality, but when it's coming into this arena, it can also mean sort of the crusader. So, you know, he is the one that he really feels, you know, it's not that he's trying to deceive, but he will follow through on what he really thinks is right, even if it kind of takes it to a, shall we say, the nth degree.
And what about Bernie Sanders?
And Bernie has a very interesting aura, actually a creative energy in there too. He has some of the powder blue and this aqua blue, which shows actually a spiritually developed person and a good character. There's a lot of pink there. He really does love people. It's not just a game he's playing. And he has this sapphire blue, which shows that he does his work well. He's a seasoned professional in his area. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting thing to see how this happens in the next several months. We just tell people, you know, do your civic duty, get involved, whatever your feelings are, because there is a karma of nations, and leaders are a reflection of that karma. So whether we have a good leader or a bad leader, it is a reflection of where the nation is at.
Let's go to James in Paducah, Kentucky now. We'll take as many calls as we can squeeze in. Go ahead, James.
Yes, hi. George, it's good to hear from you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I called you a couple of years ago about this very same thing. Of course, when my name's different, I've changed my name. But I've had a really, really bad aura all my life. I mean, I'm 61, going on 62 years old, and then my worst nightmare is coming true, where I am growing old and all alone. And I don't know, I've just never been an attractive person to the opposite sex. And I'm growing old and all alone, and I've made a lot of stupid decisions, financial decisions. It just seems like my life has been just a complete mess. No matter how hard I try to do things the right way, it's always just, I don't know, it just...
We got to change that aura, James.
My aura must be blacker than...
No. You know, we can be awfully hard on ourselves. No, that's not true. There may be some blemishes you need to work on, but you also have some wonderful colors. So you need to, you know, we always say you need to acknowledge your strengths, because it's your strengths that are going to help you transform your weaknesses. And, you know, you're actually in a new cycle right now. There are these 29-year cycles energetically. So 59 was the beginning of a new, so you said you're 61 or 2, I believe. So you're in a new phase right now. So this is the time to set aside the past and start planning the future. You know, Manly Hall, the great spiritual philosopher, said, as we get older, we tend to look at our life as a law of diminishing return, and that's not the truth. Life is eternal, so there is no end. So take what you want, start planting the things you want, and start planting those seeds in your energy with meditation, also with visualization, and look at it as, I'm going to turn a new leaf. I'll create what I want. This may be where I am at the moment, but it doesn't have to be where I'm going to be.
Laura in New Hampshire, welcome to the program. Laura, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Hey, I wanted to know, what color is courage in an aura?
What color is courage?
Courage. Oh, it is that gold. Yeah, the gold is the most dynamic energy in the aura is that gold. When you have that true courage, you'll have a lot of the gold light. And you may have a little bit of the red, the vitality as well, the bright orange, the motivation, but the dominant energy will be that tremendous gold. It shows a sense of wisdom. And, you know, gold really has to be earned. Your wisdom has to be earned through experience.
Well, the Lion and the Wizard of Oz
exactly.
Needed some gold, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Jim in Georgia. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, great show, George.
Thank you, sir.
I'll ask it and listen off the air.
All right.
You mentioned technologies for healing auras. I was curious if there's any known technologies that actually can hurt or block auras. And then what is about a positive intent that has negative results? As an example, if I'm following somebody who's swerving all over the road, whether he's intoxicated or falling asleep, if I call the cops, you know, because I want to save his life or whoever he unintentionally hits and kills, but then he ends up losing his life since losing his job, whereas if I don't call the cops, he does end up killing somebody. How would that affect his aura and or karmic?
Well, that's a big question you're asking, but, you know, let's take it a certain way. If you see a man drowning, you don't stop to say, geez, is their karma to drown? Should I just let them be? You do your best to help them. So there can be a karma when you don't take action and something obvious is there. You have to evaluate the situation, of course, but if you see a clear need and you're in a position to help, then yes, it's your duty to step in and help. We don't always know how the outcome will happen, but certainly if somebody's going to hurt somebody or somebody could very well be hurt and you're in a position to do something, it's important to take some positive action there.
Dimitri, what color aura do you think you have?
Well, I've been working on it for quite a while. You know, I do love the creative energy myself. I do know I have some of the blues, and I do have some of the gold, and you know, I try to be a loving person. But it's a changing situation there. You know, I'm constantly working on this, and I try to do look at my faults and work on them and not let them slide. And I have to say, working so closely with Barbara, there's not much room for sliding. She'll bring it up, you know, if
yeah.
It needs be. So, it's something I'm constantly working on. It's a huge part of my life.
A person like Hitler would have had what kind of aura?
Yeah.
Well, if anything.
Yeah, obviously a very degraded aura and very, you know, well, he was actually working with a left-hand path. So you're dealing in the demonic areas now. So, having said that, there was some national karma. How did he get into that place of, you know, power and position? It didn't just happen. There were a lot of other people involved in that. And there's going to be a long road home to redeem that soul, but there is no soul past redemption, even in his case. It's just going to be a very, very long road. But I do want to say this about a situation like that. The divine always balances things out. For example, those, you know, millions that died in the concentration camps. It was not necessarily their karma to die there. It was a drama that happened. But from what I understand, the Holy One said, because of such a horrible thing they went through, the karma of those people, the life they had then, was exonerated because of all that they went through. So there is always justice, even in what seems like an unjust world. It can take time, but we don't want to, you know, add a wrong to another wrong. thinking it'll make it right. Do the right thing regardless of situation, and then things will work themselves out.
How do you get the book, Change Your Aura?
You can get it online. Today is the publication day, so thank you
Perfect
so much
time.
For having us on today. Bookstores, we've got an event March 6th, a free webinar. Go to our website, spiritualarts.org, and you can sign up there. We're going to have our grand opening of our new center in June, and we welcome you there online and in person. We welcome you.
Dimitri, always great talking with you. Thank you so much. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.